I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the second day of the year of the Red. So on behalf of the session members, I'd like to wish all of us here a very, very blessed new year. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord strengthen you. May the Lord encourage you. May the Lord prosper you in your service unto him. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May your service come for him in the new year, this year, the year of the Red. Now, this morning, my topic must be related to the Red, since it's the year of the Red. So I want to talk about the Chinese almanac Red. Last year, it was the year of the pig, the last of the 12 animals of the Chinese zodiac. Now, this year, it is the year of the Red, and then next year, it will be the year of the Ox. Now, to the users of the Chinese almanac, the almanac is something that is very significant and important, because apparently the almanac is able to focus the what is good and what is bad for the lives of people. So the almanac or the application of it is very, very important to the users of the almanac. Yes, then so important that some of them would really live their lives in such a manner as to consult the experts in the almanac, the gurus of the almanac, in regards to whether they could marry in a certain year or not, or whether they could marry a monkey or marry a rat or whatever. So it's something that is very, very important. And I suppose that a rat will not want to marry a snake, right? If the snake happens to be a python. So you see how significant this the sayings of the almanac are to users of the almanac. But the question is, how did the rat get to be in position number one in the sequencing of the 12-year cycle of the Chinese almanac? Now, according to the myths regarding the Chinese almanac Red, the Jade Emperor is the one of the Chinese gods, held a competition on his birthday. So he got together a group of animals to compete in the race, and the positions in which the animals finish the race would determine that position in the sequence. Now, apparently, the rat was a very, very smart creature. He rode, managed to hitch a ride on the back of the ox. And when the ox and the rat were crossing a river near the end, near the finish line, the rat got off the back of the ox and swam very quickly and crossed the line first. And so the ox became second, rat number one. So that's why the rat occupies the first place of the Chinese almanac. Yes. Now, based on the craftiness of the almanac red, the characteristics of the red are then developed mythologically. And so they say the red is very crafty, so the red people are very quick-witted, or people born in the year of the red are quick-witted, resourceful, and smart. And because rats are known for their timidity, they are also said to be people who do not have courage. Now, then, rats are supposed to be people with rich imaginations, and they are very, very sharp in their observations. And then, and so because of that, rats are known to be very opportunistic. Then, based on the Chinese culture, rats represent diligence in work and thriftiness, and so people say that, well, because of their being hardworking, because they are very, very thrifty, then they will end up being prosperous and wealthy. Now, of course, the working of the almanac is pure myth. Now, if it is not pure myth, and if it is true, then the great people in the world cannot be great people, because if they were born in the year of the red, then they could not be leaders, because they would not have courage at all. Now, I would like to name you a few people who were born in the year of the red, and you will see that they were indeed very courageous people. Although born in the year of the red, the red, which is supposed to be very, very timid and does not have courage. George Washington, the first president of the United States, you know, he was surely a very, very brave man. He led the American patriots to fight against the British to win the War of Independence. All right. Before that time, America was a colony of Britain. So he was the one who led the Americans to be freed from the British. Yes, he definitely was a brave man. And then there were other presidents that were born in the year of the Red. President Nixon, the 37th president of the United States. President Jimmy Carter, the 39th president of the United States. George Bush, or George W. Bush, the senior Bush, was president, 41st president of the United States. And then we know the famous explorer, James Cook. Yes, he was the first European to have made contact with the eastern coastline of Australia. And he was also the man who made contact with the Hawaiian Islands. And he was also the explorer that circumnavigated New Zealand and drew the map of New Zealand. What a coward he was, you will say. No, of course not. A very, very brave man. Yes. Then in the sports world, you want to guess who was born in the year of the Red? Now, if you're a basketballer, you will know him. LeBron James. Yes. LeBron James, currently perhaps the best basketballer in the world and in the court. Nobody can beat James, LeBron James. He's such a courageous man in the court. And then in the business world, Facebook, the owner and co-founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, was also born in the year of the Red. Now, how could you say that Mark Zuckerberg was one who had no courage? And then in the entertainment world, we have this very, very brave lady in the person of Olivia Newton-John, an Aussie. She was born in the year of the Red, and for many, many years, she has been battling the cancer of the breast. So you see, all these are very courageous people. So what's the conclusion? Is there truth that all people born in the year of the Red are people who are cowardly, people who do not have courage? Absolutely false. So the almanac, Chinese almanac, is really a myth. Of course, we could cite other characteristics of the Red and then prove that the characteristics of the of people born in the year of the Red are quite contrary to many of the characteristics of the almanac Red. Now, although the Chinese almanac is a myth, lots of people in the world are very, very superstitious in the way they relate themselves to the almanac. Some are even slaves to the almanac. As I said, even to the extent of consulting almanac fortune tellers to forecast fortune and the future for them. So if the almanac, according to these teachers, says that this is not a good year for you to travel, so they don't travel. Or not a good year for you to get married, so they don't get married. Or this man is not suitable for you, you should not be marrying him, so she won't marry him, in accordance to the teachings and the sayings of the almanac, and so forth. Yeah. My friends, if you are an unbeliever, not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I shouldn't say this yet, but I should say that there are lots of people who are not enslaved to the Chinese almanac. Although they have some relation with the almanac, but they are not really enslaved to the almanac. But still, they'll be quite scared, quite frightened to run contrary to what the almanac says. So let's say, for example, almanac says you shouldn't be traveled this year. So if they were to travel, they will have some apprehension in their hearts. But friends, today, if you are an unbeliever, and you are living in fear, superstitiously based on the operation of the almanac, or some other horoscope systems, or some astrological systems, you may be set free from this slavery, the slavery of this fear. Yes, you may, by coming to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because the Lord Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 31, he says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. He was talking to Jews who believe in him. He said, if you continue in my word, ye are my disciples indeed. And he said this, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, if you want to be set free from the fear and from this superstition with regards to the almanac, come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Yes, trust that he died for you on the cross of Calvary. Believe that he shed his precious blood for you on the cross of Calvary. Believe that he died for you and was buried for you, and that he rose up from the dead for you. And if you would receive him as your Lord and Savior, if you would repent from your sins, my dear friends, he will save you, and then he will direct you to his word, which will then make you free from your sins, make you free from the slavery to whatever superstition you may have. Now, but if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a believer, take heed to this warning given by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are somehow attracted to some horoscopes or attracted to some the Chinese almanac, now let's say that there is some truth in the Chinese almanac. Let's say, all right, but of course we know that there is no truth, it's absolutely a myth. But let's assume that there is some truth in the almanac, because you observe that people have experienced the forecasting of the almanac to come true. So what do you say? Ah, there must be some truth in this almanac. I'm curious to find out more about it. Yeah, let me see what they are, and maybe it can help me make some decisions in life, and so on and so forth. Now, if you are taking that kind of a position as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, take heed to what the Word of God says. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 and 3, the three verses that we read earlier on, let me read this to you. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. There were false prophets and dreamer of dreams during the times of Moses. And these were the words given by God to the children of Israel through Moses. Now, of course, these false prophets will be making prophecies, and this dreamer of dreams or interpreter of dreams will be interpreting dreams. And let's say the interpretation did come true, or the prophecy did come true. Even if that happens, God said this to the children of Israel: you are not to go after the gods of these prophets and the gods of these dreamers, because these occurrences are taking place because I want to test you to see whether you are faithful to me or not, whether you love me with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, this may be applied to our attachment to the almanacs or other horoscopes. If you are attached to them, my dear friends, be warned. The Lord is testing you whether or not you truly love him with all your heart and with all your soul. If you truly love him, you must never be attracted to these horoscopes or the Chinese almanac. Now let's look at some characteristics of the Chinese almanac red. Now, the red is supposed to be, as we said, quick-witted. To be quick-witted is to be able to respond quickly and effectively to various situations. That's what's meant by being quick-witted. Or resourceful, one who is able to be quick and clever in having ways to overcome difficulties, and smart. Now, from the world's standpoint, such a person is said to be given great wisdom in the sight of God. Even if people have all these qualities in a good way, resourceful and quick-witted and smart in a good way, God says that even if they were to have them, they are foolish in my sight. If they do not have the fear of the Lord in their heart. Because God's word says in Psalm 111 verse 10, Psalm 111 verse 10, I'd like us to look at this verse. A right good verse for us to remember. Easy verse to remember, we shouldn't forget this verse. Psalm 111 verse 10, let's read the verse together. Okay, Psalm 111 and verse 10. Psalm 111 verse 10, ready, go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Yes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So anyone who does not have the fear of the Lord, he might be very smart, very quick-witted, very resourceful, he is still foolish in the sight of the one true living God. Yes. Now, you might ask, how can a man be quick-witted, resourceful, and smart, and yet be foolish in a big way? Yes, he can be. Now, let me give you an example of a very foolish man. Actually, very, very smart, very intelligent, very resourceful, very quick-witted. None other than Richard Nixon, the president I mentioned to you earlier on. You look at the achievements of President Nixon, you will say that he was really a great man based on his achievements. Number one, he ended America's involvement in the Vietnam War, which killed thousands of American soldiers. And then he established a diplomatic tie with China. Up to that time, China was close to the world. And between America and China, there was this political and military tension. But Nixon ended all that. He established diplomatic relationships with China. And then he did other things. He started the campaign against cancer in the United States. And then he was the man who desegregated the whites and the blacks in the schools in the South of America. At that time, the blacks went to black schools, the whites went to white schools. They could not mix, but Nixon ended all that. And then he was the man who presided over the Apollo mission, which landed the first man on the moon. So you look at this man, wow, great leadership, smart, resourceful, yes, quick-witted. But friends, he was foolish. You see, five burglars were caught because he committed a crime. All right, I'll tell you what the crime is. Yes, five burglars were caught breaking into the office of the opposition party to that of President Nixon. Nixon was the leader of the Republicans. And these five persons broke into the opposition's headquarters office in America. But they were caught. And then upon investigation, it was found out that these five men had connection with the Republicans. They had actually been given money by the Republicans, by Nixon's party. Then upon investigation, it was also found out that Nixon conspired. He actually conspired to cover up, yes, his involvement and his administration's involvement in the theft. Yes, and then just to avoid the disgrace, because he knew that he was going to be impeached, or I think he was already impeached, just to avoid disgrace of being forcibly removed from office, he resigned. Yes, he resigned his presidency. So you ask, how could a man wise in so many ways be so foolish? Actually, there was no need for him to do a thing like that, because he was actually very, very popular. He will win the second election hands down. Yes, and indeed he won the second election. Yes, he was returned as president for a second term, but then he had to resign. Why? Why did he do such a foolish thing? He did that because he did not fear the Lord. Now, if he had feared the Lord, he would be doing the commandments of the Lord, as what is told to us in Psalm 111, verse 10, which says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments." You fear the Lord, you do his commandments. And if he was doing the commandments of the Lord, he surely will be very, very observant of this commandment, which we all know. Thou shalt not steal, of course. Thou shalt not steal. He would have known it, right? He would not have committed that crime. Yes? So, friends, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But let us understand what is meant by the beginning of wisdom. Now, the beginning of wisdom is not the kindergarten of wisdom, all right? The beginning of wisdom simply means the foundation of wisdom, or the greater, or the great part of, or the chief part of wisdom, the number one part of wisdom. What which means, my dear friends, if you do not fear the Lord, you don't have wisdom at all. So it is very, very necessary that we fear the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord, let us try to understand what it means, does not necessarily mean fearing God as a terror. Of course, unrepentant sinners will have to one day clearly understand that God is actually the absolute terror to him. If he doesn't fear God, now one day he will have to fear God, because he will be standing before the one true living God and to be judged by this righteous God. But friends, the fear of the Lord means our seeing him as a judge who hands down his judgment in a very, very sympathetic, merciful, just manner. And it is also important to understand that the fear of the Lord means reverential fear. As Spurgeon says, it is like the kind of fear that the angels have when they worship the one true living God in heaven, when they serve him in his presence. They have to cover their faces. Then the fear of the Lord. Now, another aspect of the fear of the Lord is this. Now, it is like the fear that a child has for his father. I'm talking about a child, a good child, who loves his father, who is a very, very good father, who cares for the children, who truly loves the children very, very sacrificially. And the child loves the father very, very much. He loves the father so much that he fears to grieve him. He does not want to grieve him in any way. He does not want to hurt him in any way. The thing that causes him to fear most is to hurt his father. That is what is meant by the fear of the father, or the fear of the Lord. And that is the kind of fear that we are talking about. Now then, how can you fear him then in this manner, except that God is your father? If God is not your father, then you don't have any father to fear, right? So God must be your father. But friends, for God to be your father, for you to fear him, you must come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. If Jesus is not your Savior, not your Lord, yes, God is not your Heavenly Father. And you would indeed be a very, very foolish man if God is not your Heavenly Father. Because if he is not your Heavenly Father, your final destination will be eternal hell and eternal damnation. What a foolish man you would be. Now, the next characteristic of the almanac rat is that he has rich imaginations and sharp observations, and so can take advantage of various opportunities well. In other words, rat people, or people born in the year of the rat, are very opportunistic because they are rich in imaginations and they have got sharp observations. And that enable them to be very, very opportunistic. I dare say that worldly wise people are generally very opportunistic. I'm talking about worldly wise people. If they don't have opportunities, you know what they will do? They will create the opportunities. Now, let me cite you an example. I mean, I'm not boasting about the leadership in Singapore, but it is a fact. Yes, in over 50 years, this leadership in Singapore had actually brought Singapore from a third world backwater country to a first world country, in which people are enjoying a good life there, and a country that is regarded as one of the richest in the world and one of the most livable countries in the world. Yes, that's how Singapore is regarded internationally over a 50-year period. Now, when Singapore was forced out of Malaysia 50 years ago, or more than 50 years ago, and got its imposed independence, if you like, it had practically nothing, not even water, because Singapore doesn't have natural water of its own. Yes, no land to farm. It couldn't do any kind of farming, and no farming industries. What did Singapore have? Nothing, absolutely. The land, very, very small. You couldn't do anything with the land. So did the leaders of the country throw up their hands in despair and say, we are finished. No, my dear friends, they were opportunistic. They capitalized on what they had, and that was human beings. All Right, so what they did was they educated the people, trained the people, instilled in them what is known as hardiness and industry. And then also they made use of their virtually dictatorial power, nevertheless, benevolent power, to clean up the government and create a very business-friendly environment in which profit is not a dirty word, right? To get investments to come into Singapore. And so investments came in, and then the government was also very, very imaginative and making the country clean and green. And then it copied other industrialized countries, look at the examples and thought of how they could bring some of their ideas into Singapore to be made use of. And how did Singapore, or how does Singapore solve its land scarcity problem? Two ways. One, expand the island. So what they did is, over the years, they had lots of landfill the coastline to expand the size of Singapore. That's one. And then they built high. So we have a high rise, many, many high rise apartments in Singapore. In fact, today, I think more than 80 on maybe 90% of people live in high-rise apartments in Singapore. So, my dear friends, Singapore is where it is today because the leadership has been very opportunistic, particularly those leaders in the earlier years, the pioneer years. They were indeed very, very opportunistic. I dare say, my dear friends, that we believers are not at all opportunistic compared to this kind of opportunism that these leaders in Singapore have. Now, we are also in a business, my dear friends. We are in the kingdom business. What kind of business are we in? We are in the soul-saving business. So, friends, I'd like us to think of how opportunistic we have been, or how lack of being opportunistic we have been in the past. Think of the year 2019. How many people did we speak to concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? How many people? Think about it, my dear friends. Yes, then you know how opportunistic we have been. And then Sunday school teachers, those teachers here who are teaching the children and involved in the children's ministry. How opportunistic have you been in teaching the children the gospel? Every time you give a message, do you have the gospel in mind to bring your children to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you pray for them? Do you pray that they will come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior? And do you pray for more children to come to the Sunday school or to our kids' club for you to minister to? In this last summer Bible club, actually, I gave the teachers and the helpers this term, the 4 to 14 window. 4 to 14 window. Now, I'm not original in coining this term. I actually got this from the internet. I got into the net, and I look at a survey that was done in America with regards to people who came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And it was discovered that the majority, 63% of people surveyed, came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ when they were between the ages of 4 and 14. So you can't forget these two numbers, 4 to 14. Our kids here who come to our Sunday school, who come to our kids' club, fall within that age range. Which means, my dear friends, it is very, very opportune for you to share the gospel with them. And they do not come there by accident. The Lord has brought them to you for you to minister to give you the opportunity to share the gospel with them. Remember, we are in the soul-saving business. Then what about people who come into our church? Now, how do we minister to them? How do we approach them with the gospel? How careful or how observant we are of people who come into our church? And do we often ask ourselves this question, does this person need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? My dear friends, let us capitalize on these opportunities. In our street evangelism, we have challenge of sharing the people whom we meet along the streets. And you know how difficult it is to just catch hold of one person to share the gospel with him. You have to be walking there for 2-3 hours, maybe sometimes, before you can catch somebody to talk to. From my experience, being in the street to share the gospel with people, I would take something like maybe 2 hours or 1.5 hours before I could talk to maybe 2 or 3 persons. And some of them just give you a very, very superficial ear. That's all. They are not interested at all to engage themselves in a conversation with you when you talk to them the gospel. But my dear friends, here are people whom the Lord sent into our midst for us to minister to. So let's open our eyes. Yes, we don't have to be rich in imagination, in fact. You don't have to be very, very observant. You just have to understand this truth, the verses that we recited this morning. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can we remember this? Of course we can, which means that every single person passing through the gate falls into the same category. Whether he believes in Jesus or not, he falls into the category. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, and the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life. Yes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes. None righteous. All of them fall into the same category. What is most needful, my dear friends, is for all of us to go on our knees and pray that the Lord will give us hearts of love for the Lord, love for people who are perishing. Go on our knees and pray that the Lord will give us the boldness and the courage and the love and the concern to share the gospel with them. Yes, remember to be opportunistic. Now then, if you are an unbeliever this morning, you have not come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let me tell you this. You are not here by accident. It is by providence that you are here. The Lord has brought you here to give you this opportunity to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So why don't you, on this second day of the year of the rat, come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior? If you come and believe in Him today, you will never forget the day. You came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ on the second day of the year of the rat. So why don't you come and believe in Him today? Then the almanac rat is supposed to be industrious and thrifty. So people born in the year of the rat are thought to be wealthy and prosperous because they work very, very hard. They are very, very good at managing their wealth, very economical in doing so, and so they become wealthy. Now, to be industrious and to be thrifty is good. We believers in the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be very, very industrious. Yes, we are not to be slothful in business, and we must be very effective in economical in the way we manage the talents which the Lord has given to us. And one of the talents that the Lord has given to every one of us has is this talent called time. How are we making use of our time? Now, time passes very, very quickly. As we grow older, I was talking to Brother Eric just a couple of weeks ago. He said, yeah, last year, time passed so fast, right? Faster than before. I said, it's the same, very fast. Yes, before we know it, the year is over. Now, the question is, what do we do with the time? Do we waste the time or do we use it? My dear friends, let's not waste it. It is something that is very, very easy for us to waste, but let's not waste it. The Word of God says, redeem the time, buy back the time. Yes, and use it wisely for the Lord. Now, the Lord in His special providence might bless us with material wealth because we have been working very hard, because we have been very wise in managing our substances, very economical, and then we can become quite wealthy. But let's be sure that we are blessed abundantly in that manner. Not forget the one true living God, that it is He who gives us the power to get wealth. Let us not, when we have that kind of a substance, forget Him and become very, very proud and say, I got all this by my own strength, by my own wisdom, by my own cleverness. But friends, let's remember that all this comes from the one true living God. The Lord reminded the children of Israel before they entered into the land of promise and said, when you become rich, you become prosperous, remember this, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. He gives you power to get wealth. So remember that truth. Now, it is legitimate to be rich if the Lord has blessed us with wealth, but our priority would be wrong if we do not seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, but pursue wealth along with power to the extent that we join ourselves into what is known as the proverbial rat race. The rat race. Now, what is the rat race? Now, according to the Cambridge dictionary, the rat race is a way of life, a way of modern life, in which people compete with each other for power and for money. Now, the origin of this expression actually came from the laboratory. Scientists were experimenting on rats. They set two rats to race with one another to compete for a piece of cheese. And you know what was the conclusion? The conclusion was this: the rats spend more energy than the reward is worth. That was the conclusion. Yes, my dear friends, so what? So what if we engage ourselves in the rat race? So what if we were to win the rat race, if there is such a thing as victory in the rat race? There was this rich man who, you might say, have won the rat race. But in the course of winning the rat race, yes, the race had taken a great toll on his health. Now, he was worth billions of dollars, but was said to have literally starved to death. For many months before he died, he was not able to digest any solid food. Rich man ran his rat race, and the rat race had taken its toll. He gave great banquets, but could not partake of the delicacies he provided for others. Although he took some pleasure in entertaining foreign princes and important personages, he himself was slowly wasting away. So, conclusion, opulence and luxury are not life. Opulence and luxury are not life. Running the rat race, or even winning it, is no substitute for real living. Real living is not to be a participant in the rat race. Real living is to be living a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Real living is to be running the race that the Lord Jesus Christ has set for us to run, with the Lord Jesus Christ as the author and finisher of our faith. The real race or real living is to have this great and blessed hope that one day we will be seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and be like Him. That is real living, my dear friends. Living to glorify Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and ending this race one day and then seeing the Lord Jesus Christ face to face and be like Him. That is real living. And not running the rat race, right? Running the rat race is not real living. Then let us all be reminded of this truth. We brought nothing into this world. And for sure, we are not going to bring anything out of this world. No, nothing. All that you have accumulated by your rat race, you are not going to bring any of this out of this world with you. Understand this truth. Finally, let's talk about this characteristic of the ominous rat, which I mentioned at the start of the message, and that is the lack of courage. Rats are quick-witted, resourceful, smart, but they lack courage, so they say. So believers of the almanac think that rat people born in the year of the rat, lack courage to make decisions, to act on them in various kinds of situations. But as far as God is concerned, the lack of courage, listen to what I say, the lack of courage is the lack of courage to do that which is right in the sight of the one true living God, in accordance to His word. That is lack of courage. It's the fear to act based on His word. That is what is meant by the lack of courage. So when the Israelites came to this place called Kadesh Barnea in the wilderness wandering, they could easily have gone from that place into the promised land. It was just one hop away. But they lacked courage to do that which was right, which was to enter the promised land right away in accordance to the commandment the Lord had given to them. The Lord, by His very words, had said to them, go into this land. I've given this land to you. Go in and conquer it. But they chose not to go in because they were fearful of the enemies in the land, fearful of the giants in the land. They lacked faith. The reason why they refused to go in was they lacked faith. that this God of death was all-powerful, this God of death was able, and that this holy and righteous God will surely keep his promise, and that he will surely enable them to conquer the promised land. My dear friends, why do we not have courage to stand up for what is right in accordance to God's word? We have to admit that we lack courage, and very often we lack the courage to stand up for what is right in accordance to God's word. Why do we not have the courage to expressly take an anti-homosexual position? Why do we lack the courage to take the pro-life position? Or why do we lack the courage to publicly confess that we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? And are fearful of obeying the word of God to stand up clearly and be a good witness for him? I dare say, my dear friends, we fear. The reason is we fear man, and we are fearful of being persecuted. We are fearful because, my dear friends, we have no faith in the power and in the faithfulness of this righteous, holy God to sustain us and to enable us to bear the sufferings should persecution ever come our way. So let's pray this morning, my dear friends. Pray this prayer: Lord, enable me to trust in your power and your faithfulness to sustain me in my witnessing for you. So the Chinese almanac, we have to conclude, is a myth. If you are enslaved by the superstitious belief of the Chinese zodiac, the Lord is well able to deliver you. Yes, come and trust in him as Lord and Savior, and then he will direct your attention to his word. And once you know his word, his truth will make you free from the whatever fear you have arising out of the superstition that you have. Then the almanac read is supposed to be opportunistic in a worldly sense. Now, we can actually learn very much from the almanac read to be opportunistic, and that is to be opportunistic in the way of our being evangelistic. Now, let's be evangelistic, my dear friends, in this soul business, soul-saving business which the Lord has committed to us. Then I'd like to remind all those who are involved in the children's ministry, capitalize on this age range, the 4 to 14 age range. Children within this age range are very, very open to the gospel. They are most receptive to the gospel at this age. So capitalize on this opportunity that you have. And all of us, my dear friends, let us be very, very opportunistic to share the gospel with people, friends that come this way, visitors that come this way. Always remember in our mind, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Every single one of them, everyone. What we need is for ourselves to go on our knees to pray that we will be more compassionate and be more observant of such people, and go up to them, talk to them, and see whether they are in need of the gospel of Jesus Christ or not. Now, then the almanac read is supposed to be industrious and thrifty, but let's be reminded that for ourselves, let us be reminded that as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not to be slothful in business. Yes, we must be a good example to attract people to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the almanac read is supposed to be wealthy and prosperous because it's hardworking, supposed to be hardworking and thrifty. Now the Lord might providentially bless us with wealth because we could have been very hardworking, and we have could have been very, very economical in the way we manage our substances. But let's remember, when we are given wealth, to remember that it is the Lord who gave us the strength, the might to get wealth. And if we have wealth, or even if we do not have wealth, let us remember one thing that we must do, and that is remember to tithe. Yes, if we don't tithe, we are actually robbing God. And then finally, we don't have to be like the almanac read that lacks courage, but let us have the courage to do what is right in accordance to the will, according to his word. And the way to do it is to believe that This God of ours is able and faithful. We needn't have to be cowardly, my dear friends. Believe that this God of ours is able and faithful. He's able and faithful to sustain us in our witness for Him. He's able and faithful to enable us to bear any kind of sufferings that come our way. Yes, when we are ever persecuted. And then to all of us here who have not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior yet, today is a very, very opportune time for you to come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You are not here by accident. You are here by providence. God has brought you here to hear the gospel of truth. Why don't you come and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ on this wonderful day, the second day of the year of the red? Why don't you come and believe in Him? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, O Lord God, that we can learn great and precious lessons out of Your word of life, and that we can apply those lessons to our life so that we may be able to live well for You. O Lord God, we pray that we may know that Your leading is sure. We don't have to depend on any kind of almanac or horoscopes to live our lives, because all those things are just myths, and if we ever try to ever attract to them, we might just be enslaved by them. Lord, we pray that we may trust in You in regards to having sure guidance for our life. And Father, we pray for those who are still outside Your kingdom, that You will be very gracious to them. May You speak to their hearts. Cause them, O Lord God, to come to believe in You as Lord and Savior. Lord, enable us to be good and mighty witnesses for You throughout the year 2020. Enable us, O Lord God, to be very, very opportunistic to share the gospel with people. For we pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.